Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Good evening. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. A week from tonight. Dude, I was going to take off because I have like a friend who I haven't seen in 20 years coming into town. And it's probably the only time I'll get to see this person again in the rest of our lives. But the ESPYs are on, and so I want to talk about them with you guys. So I'm just going to tell them to buzz off.
You definitely don't care about this person.
or that's not a real thing I just said.
Ah, touche.
But a week from tonight will be the ESPYs. A week from yesterday, that's where I'm heading here, will be the Major League All-Star Game. And I'm very excited. Very, very excited. Brewers fans were very excited today. They're, you know how like there's snubs? Oh, snubs. And the Milwaukee closer, Trevor McGill, was named an All-Star today. And we're like, oh, ha-ha, snub. We thought he was a snub. He's in the All-Star Game. He's replacing the one other Brewer in Freddy Peralta. So we were like excited that we got two guys in. But that's like the only like low point of the day since the Brewers just swept the Dodgers at home for the first time in their franchise history and are now just 1.5 back of the Cubs. I don't know, Carlos, if you saw that, if you saw that at all, the Brewers.
Nope, didn't see it.
1.5 back of the Chicago Cubs. Will the Brewers be in my top five tonight, which we'll do in about 40 minutes? No, but maybe they will. All-Star Game coming up on Tuesday, and it is going to feature the automated ball strike system. So it's not every call will be determined by robotic umps. In fact, only a couple of them might be. But they are going to have the system in place. There will be a robotic strike zone that is going to record data on every pitch thrown in the All-Star Game. And it's going to be used in the same way that it was used in spring training, if you remember, where you can go to it via a challenge. So each team will be given two challenges. You retain your challenge if you're successful. Only a pitcher, catcher, or hitter can ask for a challenge, and it has to happen immediately after the pitch. The player taps his hat or helmet, indicating to the umpire he wants to challenge. He cannot get any help from the dugout or other players on the field. So if the pitcher throws a pitch and says, my God, that I know that was a strike, he tips his hat, they review it. The batter could feel the same thing. No way that was a strike. I'm going to tip my hat and review it. What's interesting with this system is the manager has absolutely no say in what's going to happen. And how it would play out in a game, it could be very interesting. Like, do you tell certain players they cannot use it? We're not wasting a challenge on you, our ninth hitter. We want to save this for, you know, when it's the ninth inning and it's on the outside corner and Aaron Judge is at the plate. Is that what we want to save it for? Does a player say, screw this, I'm in a slump, I need to get on base, I'm going rogue here? So there's a lot of interesting things that could happen. MLB officials are saying that 72% of fans who were asked about this use of the ABS, the automated ball strike system, said it was a positive experience. Some were indifferent, only 10% truly negative. 69% of fans said they want to see it in the game moving forward. I do feel like overall, not just this survey, but any study, any poll of people, talk to people at a mall if you can find a mall, talk to people on the street, call up people, We could start logging information from our callers. I do believe more people than not do want some sort of automated strike system in Major League Baseball. Do we want to go as far as every strike and ball is determined? Because they've tried that too in the minor leagues. They've tried this way. There was a year they tried this way for half of those six-game series. And in the other half, they tried, it's going to tell you what it is, and then the umpire is going to do it. So you still had the physical umpire doing the strike or doing the ball, but he was being told what the system said. So this isn't that. That is extreme. That is, okay, we have robots calling balls and strikes, which I think a lot of people do still want, or at least a good amount of people. How do they do this? They use a Hawkeye system. It's instant. It's, you know, AI. It's all that kind of stuff. So that's great. We're headed this way. We're going to have robots, and not necessarily robots, but technology. It's colloquial to say robots. We're going to have robots calling balls and strikes in the major leagues at some point. Could be as early as next year. The questions are going to be how often and how is it used? Is it the way where it's whatever this box says and it tells the official? Which sometimes it still gets wrong. It is not perfect. The whole reason you want to go away from human error or umpires or human beings to begin with is because we're trying to get it perfect. I don't know that we need to get it perfect. I don't know that you can get it perfect. Here's my big gripe about it. Here's my gripe. Here's my take. For 150 years, since the advent of baseball, from the great Abner Doubleday in 1876, there's been a few things that have changed. And there's been a few that have stayed the same. You run to first, you run to second, you go to third, you go home. Guy pitches the ball. The mound was raised. That changed. The dimensions of the field have changed. The one thing that hasn't ever come close to being changed is you can't argue balls and strikes. You can't argue balls and strikes. Even when Major League Baseball implements instant replay, which was designed to see, oh, did it go fair or foul? Oh, was it a home run or not? But is now used to say, like, did the guy's thumb come off the base when the second baseman was applying the tag? Because if so, he's out, which is dumb. That's your perfection. You got your perfection, but also, I mean, he's on the base, but also, look, put a paperclip in between those. Not safe. I think that's dumb. 150 years. You can't argue balls and strikes. We have instant replay now. You can't argue balls and strikes. How many umpires have thrown out players and managers because they wanted to come talk about balls and strikes? You can't argue balls and strikes. You just can't do it. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's been a part of baseball for 150 years. Sometimes in history, things are a thing, and then, well, should we change the tradition? No, it's been this way forever, but it's bad. We should change it. I don't think this is one of those things. It's just a very dumb part of the game. It's balls and strikes. Balls and strikes. So now we can argue balls and strikes. Now we can. We can argue balls and strikes now. We can tip our hat, and we're essentially arguing balls and strikes. We're saying, I don't believe you. In the past, you're out of here. Now it's like, oh, okay, I'll see if I was wrong or not. But only two times a game, maybe a third or maybe a fourth if you get them right. For 150 years, the amount of people who have been thrown out, fined, embarrassed, wronged, because they wanted to argue balls and strikes? Now we can just argue balls and strikes? So that's where I'm at. Carlos, I feel like here's what I feel like in my life. Let me pull back a layer of onion for you and feel like to tell you how I feel about the goings on of the world at large. I feel like I have more information than I do power. That's what I feel like. I feel like I know way more about what's happening, and I have very little power to stop it. I feel like this is a situation. I've got a lot of information. I see what's happening. I see where it's going. I've got very little power. I can't get in front of this avalanche and stop Major League Baseball from implementing robots. There will be technology calling balls and strikes if for only two pitches per team per game. But there will be. This is not being in the All-Star game and hasn't been in spring training just to not go. Craig Counsell, one of the things that he said that I remember him saying, besides I'm born a Brewer, which turned out to be a lie because he's a lying liar. Who lies?
Mm-hmm.
One thing he said was, and I liked this answer from him, he was asked about a rule change or something that might change. It might have been the extra inning thing. It might have been the pitch clock thing. And I remember him going at one point, if it's gotten to this point where you're asking me the question, that means we've gotten to a point where it's going to happen. If we've gotten this far where it looks like it's going to happen. And at that point, you might as well try it. If we're at this point where we're wondering, should we try it or not? You might as well try it because we're heading there anyway. What can I say to stop it? I can't say anything.
Yeah. What's the saying? We didn't come this far just to come this far.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen here.
So my whole thing is, I think it's weird that we can't argue balls and strikes. We can't. But now we can. I'm just trying to wrap my head around that. That's where I fall.
It's not hard to wrap your head around it because presumably these robots will not have feelings. The reason why I welcome the robots and by extension our AI overlords is that the robots are going to be emotionless. You know, I've had a problem with umpires for as long as I can remember, especially in baseball. In fact, probably more than any other sport, umpires make it a lot about themselves. I was just telling you off air, it was a couple days ago, I was watching the Cubs and the Cardinals, and Ian Happ is maybe a couple inches out of the base path. Like, it's not completely egregious. The umpire throws him, rules him out. Ian Happ can touch the base as he's trying to avoid a tag. So he's not egregiously out of the base path, but, you know, he's ruled out. And then you can't argue it because the umpires immediately will sort of converge on each other. They defend each other, like defending the shield, just like the NFL. They're so above reproach. There's no accountability whatsoever. I'm totally fine with robot umps because you want to challenge a strike or a ball, the robot's going to be like, okay, recalculating. Turn left now. I mean, it's over in a matter of seconds, you would think, instead of where it's just like, hey, I'm the umpire. I am the end-all, be-all. Judge Dredd, what I say goes. And you know what? If you even look at me cockeyed, you're out of the game. So I welcome this because, yes, we do need a human element into the game. I don't want robots to oversee everything. But it comes at a point where the umps are, ironically, they're robotic, but they're robotic with so much emotion and so much authority.
Robotic with emotion. Wow.
Yeah, almost artificial intelligence-like. But, like,
I'm going to use that alone and write a song. I think that's a great title for a song.
Just give me 10%. But the point with Stan is, like, they want to be hard asses, so they won't even allow you to challenge them. So, like, I think that if umpires were a little bit more malleable in their stance, I don't think robots would have been expedited the way that they are. But because we all just want balls and strikes to be called right and have the ability to say, hey, that's not right, that's a strike, or hey, that's 3 inches off the plate, that's a ball, and not getting risk your best player or manager getting thrown out, I think people would welcome it, because I certainly do welcome it, and I welcome our AI overlords.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, if you're feeling nasty. Again, the All-Star game next week is going to have the technology where a robot will determine balls and strikes. It is only going to be employed if it's brought via a challenge, which can only be brought via the catcher, batter, or pitcher, nothing from the managers or the dugouts. As we're wrapping up here, I'm trying to think of what genre of music, robotic with emotion, would be the best song for. I don't think, I can rule out right away country. You know, robotic country, I don't see like, you're so robotic with emotion. That doesn't work. I think like robotic with emotion, like an 80s kind of Devo thing would work. But I really think like an emo kind of like, and you are so robotic with your emotions. You know, that's what I think would work the best. Maybe 80s, and then maybe like a Dashboard Confessional kind of thing. Certainly not country. Maybe like a pop singer. I don't know. Like a Taylor Swift. Could she sing robotic with your emotions? Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. We'll workshop that. I'll write the lyrics. We'll sell it. You'll get 10% for the title. I'll get 90 for the composition.
Works for me.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside. Major League Baseball next week is going to have their All-Star game. Within the All-Star game, they will be using the ABS system, which is the automatic ball strike system. Technology will determine if there's a ball or a strike. They are only going to use it, as they did in spring training, if it's challenged. You get two challenges a game. You get to keep the challenge if you get it right. Manager can't challenge. You don't get like to do the whole production like they do with the headsets. You have to have the pitcher, catcher, or batter do it. So that's what we're talking about. And when Carlos was talking, Carlos said the phrase that I thought was just incredible. He said, robotic with emotion. And I said, that would be a good song title. So during the break, I just wrote some lyrics to the song. Now I'm going to sing these for you. Okay? That's a rule you're not supposed to sing on the radio, but I'm going to sing these for you so you know how the song would go. If I just say them, that's fine, but I've composed the music as well. And then I want your honest opinion, Carlos, on if you think these are good lyrics or not for a song. Cuz the chorus, I don't know I just wrote the chorus. I wrote the bridge. The chorus. It goes, and I think it's got to be more of an emo. Like, you're always so robotic with emotion. Your mad science could use a little potion. Something that would make you feel more alive. Gotta find a way to restart the hard drive. You're always so robotic with emotion. Why can't I program your heart? Thoughts?
I wish I could crap all over it. It actually is, it's not that bad. You lost me with the last line, but
well, I had to. No, you know what? You know what this is? This is Death Cab. Death Cab for Cutie. You're always so robotic with emotion.
Yeah, it really is.
Your mad science could use a little potion, something that would make you feel more alive. Gotta find a way to restart the hard drive. That's Death Cab. You're always so robotic with emotion. And then Ben Gibbard would give you the, why can't I program your heart? He would say it like, heart, not just heart. Heart. That's his Death Cab. I wrote Death Cab. I just wrote, what kind of skill is writing lyrics on the fly? This is transferable to no other thing. not music, because I can't sing and I can't play any instrument.
Sure can't.
Not this, because a lot of people right now think what we're doing is dumb.
Sure
they is. They are wrong. This is actually quite clever. Maybe I just let one go and I'm enjoying the smell of it a little bit, but I might think I have something here.
I would explore that. Now, I'm not being funny. You need to get it to somebody who can sing. No disrespect.
Why can't I program your heart?
But I used to work in music before I got over here because I had like a million and one jobs. I actually do play instruments. I have perfect pitch. And I've recorded and worked on worse stuff. That was not that bad.
Somebody's going to wake up tomorrow. Somebody's going to wake up tomorrow, and they're going to be in the shower, and in their head, it's going to be, you're always so robotic with emotion. Your mad science could use a little potion. And they're going to be like, son of a bitch! What? No! Why? No!
And it'll sound good because they'll be in the shower, and everybody sounds good in the shower.
Oh man! The other day I was belting one out in the shower. I was like, I gotta get me to a.
Don't let that fool you. It's just the acoustics in the shower.
Robbie is in Birmingham. Hello, Robbie.
Dude, guys. So I literally just left a concert. All right, and you crushed it. All right, I'll be honest. I'm very impressed with the lyrics.
Wow! Thank you.
You're very welcome. I grew up a huge Blink 182 fan. All right,
ooh, and that could be Blink.
Yes, it could be. But I do agree with the Death Cab. It's a little bit, more whiny.
Yeah, you know, it is whiny. It's got to be whiny. Blink. If you're singing the phrase "robotic with emotion," you got to be whiny.
And you're dropping potion in there, man. I mean. You had me rolling, dude. Like, that's legit. Like, those were some legit lyrics on the fly.
Yeah, thank you. Look, Robbie, I'm going to have this fun little segment. You know, it's going to be remembered by the people who heard it for like a week. And then it's just going to be in a podcast buried in some data server. This is going to go nowhere. I can't let this not go anywhere.
No, no. I'm going to call back in a week and make sure, like, find out, like, keep pushing this, bro, because I think, I mean, legit, bro. Like, it's got a little ring to it. I'm not going to lie, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, you might be right. Some people might think this is stupid, but I think it's freaking hilarious, you know.
Because yeah, well, you could tell them it's July 9th. Everything's stupid.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. What else are they doing tonight on a Wednesday night, right? So, but no, man. I was thinking more of like a, you can dance if you want to, you know, kind of that 80s.
I was thinking that too, but then when I wrote it, it was Death Cabby.
Yeah, that makes sense. It just flows a little bit better. So, no, great stuff, bro. Just wanted a great show too. You guys are awesome. So entertaining. So just keep it up.
Thank you, Robbie. Appreciate that very much. Robbie in Birmingham. Good stuff. Let's get to Robert in Annapolis. How you been, Robert?
Pretty good. As I mentioned, July's a lean month in sports, so you don't hear as much from me until the NFL cooks up. But anyhow, would this be the equivalent of a, let's say, a SpongeBob musical doodle? Did your son ever watch SpongeBob? Remember there was an episode where he had this tune going around in his head?
No, he isn't. He knows who it is. He hasn't watched it yet. Really, the only person, because I was kind of too old when it was on, the only person that I've ever known that has watched it, like, religiously, is my age, and he used to live above a bar, and I don't know that he went more than 15 minutes a week without being stoned out of his mind.
Well, anyhow, they had an episode where the song kept going. I think they called it Earworm or something. But anyhow, I was actually calling up because I caught the intentional Bart misspeak this evening when you were talking about changes in baseball. Just after the top of the hour, you mentioned when the mound was raised. The mound was actually lowered.
You got it. Good job,
Robert.
I know you
do these things intentionally, but you don't get them by me, you see. So I have to call in and let you know that I caught it. A philosophical comment of sorts, if I've been meaning to mention to you. I coached youth basketball, just as you coach youth soccer, and I'm sure you get the same positive feeling when you see youngsters, you know, listen to what you're saying and actually get better at whatever sport they're playing. And you kind of get disappointed when there's those that just don't get it. And I thought you could equate that to some callers. Our guy Jeff in New Orleans is getting pretty good at this. You remember his first two calls were pretty
Well, he's just stepping up to the plate.
But he's gotten better. Whereas
some swings.
Your brother up in Beantown, he just doesn't get it. He just can't get it, no matter how much time you spent with him. So I wonder if you get that same, if you get that feeling in the youth sport coaching, the feel good and then the feel disappointed, how the kids respond to your coaching and then the callers as well. Anyhow, that's my philosophical moment for the night. Maybe we'll catch you tomorrow on the Bardo Meter. All right, buddy.
Robert, thanks for the call. I'd say it's a little, the difference is the parents, you know. Sometimes you have a kid who, and these kids are young, so maybe they're not getting it, and you want to spend a little more one-on-one time with them, but when do you get that? And you got to worry, are the parents thinking that you're doing a good enough job because they're handing you over? With some of the callers, I don't have to worry about your mom screaming at me. So you can get the real criticism instead of just the don't want to get the mom mad. You know, my memory of my dad, not my memory of, but one of my dad was a coach, and so he'd have to make cuts, and the amount of nights where he just spent hours in the kitchen like talking parents down was like, geez, why do you even want to be a coach? Half of your season is coaching kids, half of the other is telling, you know, Miss McKenzie that just because you live three houses down doesn't mean your kid's going to be the center back on this team. Kid can't even run in a straight line for 20 yards. Made up name, fictional thing. Some of it based off real life. And also, Miss McKenzie should have been my mom because I was the kid who sucked, but thankfully my dad was the coach. Daniel's in Hawaii, Daniel.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Can I make a comment about don't quit your day job? I'm just saying. I don't know.
I think I'm going to quit my day job once I go top 10, once I go platinum.
Okay.
You'll all be buying my song or listening to my song on Spotify, and I'll be getting 9/13 of a cent.
Man. Well, then once you go on AGT, you should get on AGT too then. America's Got Talent.
I'm going to hit that up. I'm going to hit up,
Well, thanks a lot. Hey, so I want to make it a comparison. I've been watching baseball for my whole life. I saw actually Carl Yastrzemski play, so you can tell how old I am, back in the 60s. But I also, I'm a 50-year player watcher of tennis. And, you know, they call it Hawkeye on tennis.
Yeah.
And your guy said that they're going to probably use something similar to that. They're really, be honest with you, I watch McEnroe in person. I'm used to all the screaming and the hollering and the calls back in the day in the, you know, the 70s and 80s. Because I've been, like I said, watching for 50 years. And I miss that, actually. You know, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, like Billy Martin. McEnroe, I think, was worse than Billy Martin, be honest with you. I don't know, man. He was pretty bad about arguing with calls.
Oh, but, and he's made a living off of it.
Oh, he made a living definitely off of it. So the big thing with me is I've been to so many pro matches. I watch TV. Right now I'm watching Wimbledon right now. I got to record it. And I've not seen very, very, very – I don't even know if I could even pinpoint a player saying anything about the call or ask for a replay. They just – they're dealing with it. And it seems to be pretty accurate. So I don't know how that's going to work with baseball. I have no idea.
Yeah, really, it's going to come down to what it's going to come down to, Daniel, is thanks for the call, the appetite of the fan, how much we want or don't want to have balls and strikes determined that way. Again, I just think it's odd that you can't argue balls and strikes has just been the thing. It's been a commandment of this game, and now it's just, there's actually 9 commandments, I guess. Oh, okay. Sure. That makes sense. I actually just got an email from Wings of Voice. They want me to fly out to L.A. for an audition, so going to check that out. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Our power rankings coming up. This will be an ultimate test of how big of a homer I truly am when we return. Right now, an update, Marco Belletti.
It's time for Power Rankings, Bart Winkler style.
You know what? You just made the list.
It's Worst in Five. Here's Bart Winkler.
It is time for our weekly Power Rankings in Major League Baseball throughout the summer. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, we could still do one next week, right? Because we've got a few days to do them. Maybe we'll hit it on a Monday. That might make more sense.
I have an interesting twist for that, but we can cross that bridge when we get there. Maybe not.
Oh, well, what's that?
Maybe not the best teams, because, you know, everybody is going to be on a break. Maybe we can do the worst in five in terms of actual baseball players. And, you know, the All-Star celebration. We pick our five best baseball players that we think are the best, and let's pick on one guy that just stinks.
Okay, well, my best guy would be Jacob Mizorowski.
Okay, you want to remind me in about 7 days?
Sure, I can do that. We'll start with the worst team in the league. I mean, they have 72 losses. They really have killed the fun out of this.
We really should just do and five.
Yeah, it's the Colorado Rockies.
You suck!
Anything to add?
No. Waiting for you.
Minus 251 run differential, so it's like historic. Like, the White Sox weren't even that bad, and the White Sox just set the single season loss record last year. And if it wasn't for the Rockies, we might be piling on the White Sox again, who are right behind them with 62 losses. But rightfully so, it is the Colorado Rockies.
You suck!
And I want to remind everybody, they had four consecutive road wins on for the Braves and the Nationals. But they've just, they just completely fell off of the reservation. Again, it's the Colorado Rockies. It will be the Colorado Rockies until further notice. I have nothing else.
All right, well, from one to five, I'll give you my best.
Number one.
At number one, it is going to be a team that has held it, for me at least, four straight weeks. Now, six of the last seven. Mets got up there at one point a month ago. Are not on my list tonight. But the Detroit Tigers are. They just had a five-game win streak before losing to the Rays, 59-35, best record in baseball by three games. They come in at number one. I think a lot about Greg's call last night. Greg in Michigan called towards the end of the show. Talked about how just everybody can't believe what's going on with Detroit. You better start believing. You better make some. You better make this one count.
Go for your dreams.
You know, a lot of teams right now are thinking, are we buyers or are we sellers? Then there's a lot of teams that are thinking, okay, we're buyers, but how much are we mortgaging off? If you're Detroit, that American League is wide open.
We're off the shizzle.
And you are clearly the best, so I don't know. I don't know how long you'll have this. You'll have a window. I think the Tigers are going to have a window, but how long is your window going to be at the same time that the American League window is this wide open? So I'd like to see them be active at the deadline. Number two. For the last 5 weeks, the Dodgers were in this spot. They will not be right now. It is going to be the Houston Astros. Some pronounce it Houston. Houston just swept the Dodgers, actually, and really scored a lot more runs than they did in that series. There was an 18-1 victory, 6-4, 5-1. Houston's been surprising, and this has to be the first time this year that two American League teams for me take top billing. At number three.
Number three.
We are going to go with the Philadelphia Phillies. Winners of six of their last 10. They've been playing consistent ball ever since their season ended in April when they got swept by the Mets. The Phillies get three because I did nudge the Dodgers down one more. The Dodgers at number four is... Dodgers. Still the second best record in the league, but they have lost six in a row. They've lost six in a row. Three have been to the Astros. And then three have been to, at number five.
Number five.
For the first time all season, and maybe only the last time. But I'm going down Homer Avenue, and I'm putting the Milwaukee Brewers.
Boo! Boo!
All right, beating the Dodgers on Monday 9-1, beating them 3-1 with a great performance from Jacob Mizorowski, 12 Ks. Six innings, winning today in extras where it looked like they had no shot, then a ninth inning rally. Now, if you think it's that big of a homer, I left off the Cubs, who the Brewers are only a game and a half behind. I'm behind the Blue Jays. They're only a game behind them. They're a half game behind the Mets. The Brewers are in this next class where they are eligible to be at number five, and they just swept the Dodgers. So thank you very much. My top five is... Detroit, Houston, Philadelphia, L.A. Dodgers, Milwaukee. Let's go!
Yeah, let's go indeed. Let's go to break. This 4 minutes can't come fast enough. All right, I'll start at number one with you.
Number one.
And we're in agreement. I'm a little surprised. I thought they would have had 60 wins already, but it's the Detroit Tigres, 59 at 35. Having Tarek Skubal.
You're surprised you thought they'd have 60 wins and they have 59?
Right, well, I just thought that they would have 60 at this exact moment in time. You know, they're one win off of my pace, but they're right. Great. They're a great team. They're number one in my rankings. Tarek Skubal, it's a no-brainer for him to start the for the American League in the All-Star game. He's really starting to run away with a Cy Young award. This will be his second consecutive should he hold serve and continue to pitch the way he does. This guy is an absolute beast. Him and Zach Wheeler have been lighting it up the last couple of weeks. And Zach McKinstry just made the All-Star game, so congratulations to him. The Tigers get another guy in the Midsummer Classic, so the Twad gets my number one spot. And number two.
Number two.
Like you, this is the first time I've also had two American League teams on the top of my billing here, and it's also the Houston Astros. Bro, you talked about the Astros beating the Dodgers. They didn't just beat them. They swept them. They absolutely smoked them. I'll give you the cumulative score. 29-6. They are 25-10 since the beginning of June, and they're going to get even better because they got 15 guys on the injured reserve list, whatever you want to call it now. It used to be the DL, now it's the IL. So the Astros could just get better by virtue of health. And the American League West is kind of falling by the wayside. The Astros are clearly starting to be that third team in the AL. We've said it's been the Tigers and the Yankees. I'm not even sure about the Yankees anymore. The Yankees got to make some moves. They DFA DJ LeMahieu. And spoiler alert, the Yankees are no longer on my list. So Astros at two. At number three.
Number three.
You have them at four. I still got some respect on the LA Dodgers. I have them at three at 56-38. They have not looked good. Obviously getting blown up by your Brewers. And listen, that's no easy feat. As much as I want to crap all over the Brewers and I'm scared because they're only a game and a half behind my team. It's a tremendous accomplishment, and I think the Brewers are legit as well. They're going to be a threat in the Central. But the Dodgers still have all the star power in the world, and Shohei Ohtani did give them two really good innings out of a couple of the losses they had there. So he's going to gradually ramp up until he's ready to become a regular rotational piece for them. The Dodgers need to get healthy as well. I still think they're going to be one of the teams left standing in October.
Number four.
Don't disrespect my Cubs. The Brewers are still number two in the division. The Cubs are at number one. Best run differential in all of baseball. Only the Tigers and the Cubs are in triple digits in that category. Cubs have 100 plus 117, although they just dropped two against Cleveland. Not very happy about that, but I am happy they beat the brakes off of the Cardinals, including a franchise record 8 home runs in one game. So the Cubs, good enough for number four on my list. And finally, number five.
Number five.
I thought about the Brewers. I'm not going to lie to you. If we went to six, the Brewers would be at six. But I am I'm going to put the Toronto Blue Jays for one time. Because I don't
hate that.
They're not. I don't know how much longer they're going to get any love here. But they got some.
They had a 10.
Yeah, they finally lost that to the White Sox.
I am doing Brewers Blue Jays tie.
Okay. All right. Well, no tie for me. I'm going to go Blue Jays 5. Blue Jays 5 and Brewers 6.
I got to respect them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're leading the American League East. They were down 3 games in the AL East, and they swept 4 games out of the Yankees. So that obviously catapults them to number 1 in the division. And if we think the AL is weak, why not the Blue Jays? So 1 Tigers, 2 Astros, 3 Dodgers, 4 Cubs, and 5 Blue Jays, 5.5 Brewers.
Now, let me say to my friends in Toronto, my Brewers selection at 5 was not a slight to the Blue Jays in any way. It was a slight to the Cubs. That meant only the Cubs. So I'm happy to put the Blue Jays at 5. Craig Counsell said he's never managed a bullpen this good. Isn't that the reason you got hired? Because of how well your bullpens were?
Yeah, so why did Porter Hodge give up 6 runs the other day?
Lying liar who lies. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.